Wir sind jetzt wieder mal in Berlin. Nur ich und Jacqueline. What up?
What up?
Did you start
already? Yeah, I'm starting now.
Sorry. Okay. Like, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, start. Also Leute, wir sind jetzt wieder in Berlin. Ich und Jacqueline nur, weil Paul in Washington ist und da abhängt und Sachen macht. Wir sind aber nicht alleine. Wir haben halt einen Ersatz gefunden für Paul.
Ja, danke, dass du mich fragst, wie es mir geht. Caro, mir geht's sehr gut. Danke. Geht's dir auch gut?
Ja, mir geht's auch gut. Wie geht's dir, Corinne?
Sehr gut auch.
Genau, Corinne ist unsere Gästin für diese Sendung heute. Und die ist ziemlich speziell. Also nicht nur, weil wir drei Frauen sind, was mich eigentlich auch sehr freut, aber auch, weil uns Corinne etwas mitgebracht hat. Geschichten aus dem Kongo.
Ja, I'm Corinne.
Ja.
I was born in France. I've been 30 years old, born in France from Congolese parents, and have been living in Berlin for more than 6 years. Wow. And yeah, my German is sowieso.
Sowieso?
But no, I just feel more comfortable in English. This is why it's going to be in English. But it was my first time in Congo, and I have lots of things to share and with you.
Cool, nice.
Ja, dann kommen wir eigentlich auch schon zur ersten Frage. Die hast du fast beantwortet. Du meintest, es ist das erste Mal, dass du im Kongo warst. Wieso war das denn das erste Mal für dich?
You mean, why so long? Why did I wait for so long to go there?
Yeah.
It's not easy. I will say, my parents divorced when I was 8, so I never went with them when I was a kid. And then afterwards, also, they were not going there regularly. So for me, I was more like, as a kid, I was more depending on them. And then when I became an adult, when you become an adult, but like, as I grew older, I don't know, then I moved from home, I lived somewhere else, and there was just no, I wanted to go, but there was no real push to go. And I also think it comes from the fact that probably it was a side, like maybe my Congolese, roots was something that I kind of pushed aside, mostly because when I was really younger, I met with my grandmother and a different side of my family. And I could see how they were treating women differently, the things that I didn't like, actually, I was seeing like really clearly, and I was like, I don't like Congolese people because they just treat women that way, and they really old school, and blah, blah, blah. And so that really made me so angry. I was just like, I'm not like them. Like, I'm not like you. I had this very strong character. So to me, to see how women were treated, it was just really, it was just difficult, and I felt like I had nothing to do with that. Yeah. With that culture,
but also it was traumatizing just somehow, right?
Yeah, and I think what is sad is just it's only one part of it.
Yeah.
Like, of course, so I was really, it was a, I didn't get the full picture, but I just don't want to have to deal with that part. And maybe also because the relationship that my mom and my dad had was also very conflicting, so I was seeing that everywhere, like, they're no good, they don't know how to treat their woman, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Of course now I see different things. So
yeah. Also es ist nicht nur eine Geschichte, ne? Also es sind so viele unterschiedliche Arten, Kongolese zu sein. Und das, glaube ich, wenn man sich so auf eine Sache fokussiert irgendwann, dann denkt man so, okay, das ist das, so, ne? Ja.
Yeah. Exactly.
Aber ist da nie der Wunsch aufgekommen, deine Heimat oder die Heimat deiner Eltern zu sehen und kennenzulernen? Also trotz allem, was herum passiert ist?
I mean, it was really early. I think I had like an identity crisis. I was 16. I was just like going at the library and then taking books about Congo and just reading them. Yes. But mostly because I had a few black friends, and they were just like, you're so weird. And I was just like, why? And it was mostly because, I don't know, I was really good at mathematics, but at the same time, I was dancing hip hop. And I also, at that time, it wasn't really in at that time to listen to electronic music. Like, it wasn't such a big thing. So they're like, oh, you're listening to this, like, druggy kind of music where people do drugs. So they were just like, well, it's just house music. So they couldn't really understand it. I felt like my blackness was like being questioned. I just didn't know, like, am I really black? Am I?
Yes.
And in France, we say, what do we say? The chocolate bar, we say, they usually say, t'es une bounty. With bounty, with the French accent.
Yeah, bounty.
Exactly.
Bounty.
Bounty.
For all those people, für alle, die es nicht verstanden haben, es ist Bounty, bounty. Auf Deutsch.
Wurdest du auch schon so genannt, Caro?
Bounty? Nein, noch nicht.
Ich ja.
Ja?
Echt, es gibt's auch in gab's auch in Deutschland. I mean, were they calling you like that? Or what were you actually meaning by bounty?
I think one or two person, because they were just like, you're so quiet, you're so reserved.
Okay.
Black people don't do that. And I was just like,
but is bounty reserved?
Aber das ist interessant, weil genau du hast ja irgendwie auch so Kongolese-Menschen so stereotypisiert. Und andere schwarze Menschen haben auch andere, also haben gesagt, so du bist nicht so, weil ne, du bist anders, du bist ruhig, du bist magst Elektro und so. Also dass man halt, dass wir selber so nur ein Bild von Schwarzsein auch haben, häufig so, ist halt, das ist halt auch verrückt.
Yeah.
Naja.
That doesn't make sense. Nee. And I also think maybe it's where I grew up, because I grew up in the suburbs of Paris, and maybe you also don't want, you want to fit in the mold. So I'm sure that there were many different kind of people. But I think at a certain age, you're just like trying to fit and be like anyone else. Mm. And then when you grow up, you realize, okay, everyone is really actually different.
Yeah.
But I felt it. I just felt like some people are so dumb. I don't fit here. I don't know. So already I knew I was searching for something, but I don't think at that age I already wanted to go there, but I was just for sure looking for something.
Und wann hat sich das geändert? Also wann hast du dich entschieden, dann zu gehen jetzt?
I think some years ago already, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Mostly because my relationship with my parents just got much better, especially my mom. And we were talking about it. She doesn't go that often. So last time she went was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And same for my dad. But so I was like, okay, at some point it would be nice to go, but we were just talking about it without really making any plans. Then she got a bit sick, so it was difficult to go. And now she's like, I was like, Nain, okay, now you fit and I have a better job. I have money. We should go. So
it all came together. It was the right, perfect
exactly,
time.
It was the right time, I think.
So how was it? I mean, you're taking this plane, getting off, and then, yeah, what was the first feeling? I mean, wie hast du dich gefühlt, als du aus dem Flugzeug gestiegen bist? Oder wie war generell die Reise bis dahin? Hast du?
It was actually super stressful. It was stressful because, well, I mean, if you have, I'm not saying all the African women are the same, but we had like 3 luggages.
Yeah,
you know.
Ooh,
so just like,
in that point, we can really say that Africans.
Why do we need that? It's so stressful. So then you're like, okay, this one is 22. Okay, yeah. This one is 24. So like, just the preparation is very stressful.
So you both had like 4 suitcases. Like every
I think we had actually. So we had each 2.
Yes.
Plus the one in cabin.
Of course.
But then on the way back, actually, we had 3 plus the one in cabin. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, so just the preparation was stressful, and then you had like all those guys at the airport that are trying to get money from you. I don't know, like when you're trying to film your luggages, they tell you, oh, that doesn't work, but you can just give me the money, I know, blah blah blah. So
das ist mir auch passiert in Nairobi, also als ich hatte Übergepäck gehabt und die Frau wollte einfach Geld von mir haben. Du brauchst nicht bezahlen, aber mir kannst du ein bisschen was geben, komm, hilf mal deiner Schwester, komm, ein bisschen. Like, but are you talking about it like about the people in Kinshasa or
it was already at in Paris.
Oh, in Paris. Really?
But I don't know where they were from, and I was just like, wow, this is so confusing. I don't know what they want. I just didn't care about them. So that was fine. And then we managed everything. We were not like, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. Then when we got out of the plane,
yes.
I was just like, oh, it's already night. It was 6 p.m. But it was mostly the smell. Like, that's the first thing that it was like, it was warm and then yes. the smell. And I was like, what is this smell? It's like, are they all doing a barbecue at the same time? And then I realized only a few days later that they put trash on the outside. Like, they don't really have they don't really manage trash properly, and they okay. all burn it. But so that was that smell
it
of
smell
burn.
Like barbecue?
It smelled like just burn, like they're burning something.
I and thought, I was like, just it smelled like food.
No, it was just like something is burning and I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course we got out of the airport and I was a bit stressed because it was so loud and there were lots of people. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, hey, give me your luggage, I can help you. And then I'm like, what is that? And they were, and then when you see all those people, when you're not used to it, and you see it, like 10 people around you that you don't know and it's night and they're touching your luggage and just you're like, hey, is he going to run with you? What is he doing? And then I didn't realize that my cousins were there.
Oh, really?
At some point, like they touched it and I was like, hey, don't touch. Ah, oh, that's you. So it was a bit, I didn't understand actually what was happening. And then they were like.
Also wurdest du von deiner Familie abgeholt, also von vielen Menschen aus deiner Familie sozusagen.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole family and then this kind of mini bus.
I don't know why it's always the same. I mean, ich glaube, das ist. Yeah. Du kannst davon erzählen, wir haben auch in der letzten Folge davon erzählt, dass in Afrika oder ja, dass man da eher abgeholt wird als hier und dass dieses Verreisen eigentlich irgendwie so ein Familienverreisen ist, dass alle mitkommen möchten und dich abholen möchten oder dich auch wegschaffen möchten, wegbringen möchten.
Und although they were just three, it was just really like the it was not the big family, but it's true. Everyone wants to see you. That's yeah. So sure.
Yeah.
Ja, gut. Und musstet ihr weit fahren bis zu dem Ort, wo ihr übernachtet habt, oder bis zum Ort eurer Familie?
Hallo. No, it was pretty okay.
Yeah.
I was just super surprised because it was my like I've also never been to the African continent, like mm-hmm. I have to say. So. I was so surprised about like the road and the people, mm-hmm. the way they drive. And I was like, okay, that's like next level driving. I've never seen that in my life. So I was just filming everything when I was there because I was like, how can he drive like that? I don't understand. There's no
rules.
Yeah,
lass uns mal kurz reinhören aus deiner Fahrt durch Kinshasa. Hier ist ein kleiner Ausschnitt, den Corinne uns mitgebracht hat.
Das hört sich ja richtig lustig an, die Fahrt.
Also ich würde sagen, man kann irgendwie nicht heraushören, in welcher Stadt man sich gerade befindet in Afrika. Ich weiß es nicht. Also es hört sich schon an wie auf den Straßen.
Ja, vor allem, ich meine, ich weiß ja nicht, welche Musik das war.
I don't know. Radio.
Okay, das kann,
Radio.
Okay, das ja, aber ich glaube, ich weiß nicht, wenn man so durch die Straßen von Nairobi fährt oder vielleicht auch durch Kampala, man hört immer irgendwo Musik, man hört immer irgendwelche Menschen auf der Straße schreien, also schreien im Sinne von hier, Bananen, hier, da, was kaufen. Oder Autos hupen, also das ist so ein Hören, dass es hier vielleicht nicht so sehr gut vorkommt.
Ja. Und Corinne, würdest du sagen, dass du dich da zu Hause gefühlt hast oder dass du das Gefühl hast, du kommst nach Hause?
So it's weird because when I arrived, nothing was familiar. I didn't understand what was happening. Like I was really dependent on my family, but at the same time when I was with them, I know it's my family, so I felt pretty much at home, mm-hmm. and it was like familiar faces. Mm. It was just whenever I was outside, I didn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like this notes, like this money that you have. Why is so much money? Because it's so much devaluated. Yeah. You know, like,
vielleicht sollten wir dazu sagen, dass auch die Sprachbarriere da ist, ne, Corinne? Ich glaube, du, also okay, Französisch kommt man ganz schön weit in Kinshasa im Kongo, aber man hört dann schon viel Lingala. Ne? Yeah. Und das ist etwas, was du nicht so oft benutzt und auch nicht richtig sprichst, oder vielleicht doch? Wie ist das mit der Sprache?
Yeah, I will say maybe my level is like A2.
Okay. Which is at least a level, you know. I have level zero, so.
I understand most of it, and they were making fun of me a lot because I could, you know, say a few sentences from time to time and they were just laughing. But I
sehr nett von deiner Familie.
I could understand it mostly. I mostly understood what people were saying. I think as long as I was not watching news and it was something political, but in general, I could understand pretty well.
That's good.
Yeah. So I could navigate the city. I think I could just see the difference between the different neighborhoods. So the thing is, we were supposed to be in a neighborhood called Gombe. And there is mostly, I will say, there's a lot of expats. It feels kind of safer because it's people that actually have more money.
I think I remember that.
But we were not in Gombe. It didn't work. So it was a surprise that my mom was like, where are we going? So we went to Lingala. And in the street where we were, I think there were a lot of people that were like, I don't know, general or whatever they were. And kind of had some money, but if you actually go to other streets, you could see it wasn't the same thing. So I could see the difference. And it was hard to navigate it. It was at the beginning, I will say, and then you just get used to it and you're trying to pretend as if you're from there when you know you're not really. I wasn't from there. It was very obvious. Very, very obvious.
Yeah, so there's like a home, also ein Zuhausegefühl, aber trotzdem ein Fremdheitsgefühl, weil du noch nie da warst. Aber dein, die Leute, die man kennt, die sind da. Und dann
genau, und weil sie dir auch das Gefühl geben, dass du halt schon fremd bist, oder? Also das hat man dir auch angesehen auch. Also durch die Sprache und auch durch, keine Ahnung, Kleidung oder so. Ich meine, vielleicht Frauen in deinem Alter würden sich vielleicht anders kleiden oder anders laufen oder sind solche Merkmale auch deutlich? Also
I think people realize right away that I'm that I'm not from there. Mm-hmm. Just from the way I was dressed, I was like, I'm so overdressed. Like for me, maybe because for me in Europe it would be like completely normal, but like there I felt extremely overdressed.
Yeah.
Even when I was wearing like just the privilege of having a white pants, it means like you actually have a washing machine and you can clean it. Mm. It's like no one will bother with that.
Yes.
And like the shoes and so many things is just so obvious.
It's
not, not about jewelry or anything like that. It was just very, very obvious.
That's a good point. Was ist mit dem Essen? Ich weiß, dass man in Paris sehr gut essen kann, auch kongolesisches Essen. Ich meine, du bist ja auch damit aufgewachsen mit deiner Mama, aber konntest du doch einen kulinarischen Unterschied verspüren, als du in Kinshasa warst? Also gab es da Unterschiede? Hast du da gesehen, etwas gegessen, was du noch nie gegessen hast, oder hat es anders geschmeckt, auch einfach durch die Luft oder durch das Teilen mit anderen Menschen?
So, from the taste, I wouldn't say so. I think it was... It's easy to also get really good product in Paris.
Yeah.
And my mom is not always going to Chateau Rouge or whatever, but there's like other areas where you can buy good food. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely, I just ate more often. So like really every day almost. So there were food that I don't eat regularly, like mbika, for instance.
Yeah.
So was good. Ist das? This is so good. It's like...
Is it Sonnenblumenkernmehl, also gemahlen, oder ist es das mit den Sesam? Gemahlener Sesam und dann...
I don't know why, I can't even find a word in English, but it's like in French we say some kind of courge.
Oh, Courge, of course.
Of course it's Courge. Cool.
Es sind auf jeden Fall irgendwelche Kerne gemahlen und dann irgendwie so in Bälle geformt.
Ach so,
und dann
also
in drin ist Fisch oder
ja, was?
Genau so.
So Klößchen, like small... Dumplings kind of things?
Kind of.
And
kind
if it filled like with Also mit Fleisch gefüllt oder eher mit Fisch gefüllt? Mit Fisch, ne?
Oh, it depends. You can really eat it the way ja. You want. I think the first time I ate it was with like some tomato sauce, but like on there I ate it with something just like this. It was completely different.
Okay.
But I don't eat it regularly and it was so good. But like, yeah, from the food or the quality, there was not much difference to me. There are definitely a few little things that I never ate, but it was just nice to almost eat it every day. Like, huge fan of fumboa. Yeah. I was eating that almost every day. Pondu every day. It was like, yeah. It was just nice.
Hast du zugenommen dann?
I actually brought some pondu, but like, I will have to prepare it, obviously. Oh. And I fell in love with the sweet potatoes.
Du brauchst diese Frage gar nicht umgehen. Hast du zugenommen, Corinne?
I don't think so.
Gut, gut. Ich dachte, du willst jetzt vom Thema abweichen.
Ja, aber ich würde mich freuen, eingeladen zu werden, sowas zu essen. Ich bin immer dafür, zum Essen zu haben.
Ja, jetzt haben wir vom Essen gesprochen. Was ist mit Musik? Ich meine, Kongo. Und Musik ist
ja, bist du ausgegangen?
No, I was so sad. I wanted to go for Fête de la Musique, but no one cares about Fête de la Musique, actually. It's like, it's not really a thing. Like, I think there was something at Institut Français, of course, there was something. But then when I asked my cousin, oh yeah, what are you doing today? He was just like, nothing special. I was like, what? But for them, because there's music all
every
the time,
day,
like,
everywhere.
It's just like, there's no Fête de la Musique. He was like, what are you talking about? So, of course, I didn't do anything special. But I could hear music all the time, even in I don't know, from some bars right next to where I was living the whole night, like really the whole night. And I was like, what are they doing? But it was quite nice. I could just hear it all day.
Yeah.
And then I also asked my auntie, can you dance? Can you show me how you dance? It was just like,
ooh.
Very nice. Yeah, because my mom can't dance like at all.
Uh-huh.
But my her sister, she can.
Oh.
So it was nice to see her dance.
Also hat sie dir ein paar Moves gezeigt?
Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, next time we do a battle, she was just like, yeah, whatever.
Ja, jetzt können wir, wenn wir dann mal ausgehen, dann musst du deine Moves zeigen.
Ja, du tanzt ja auch privat oder was heißt privat, aber gerne auch hier in Berlin.
Dancing. Ne? And the story, this is a nice story actually. I went to my dad's home where he grew up. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood is called Matonge, and he was actually living in a street where most of the musicians were at that time. But I guess he was in the 70s.
Yeah, perfect time.
In the 80s, yeah. And it was really like, I think that it was still okay there. And I know apparently my mom was telling me, yeah, your dad and with his brother, they were always going out dancing, listening to music. And so I was just like, everything makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, definitely there's at least from my dad's side, like really strong connection to music. I think my mom, she likes music, but she's not like crazy. Yeah, she's not crazy about it. It's more my dad.
So you took it from your dad.
I took it from my dad.
That's a good thing.
Ich habe auch irgendwie viel über, also auch in Uganda hört man viel kongolesische Musik.
Wie auch in Kenia. Ich glaube, Ostafrika ist sehr beeinflusst.
Dann, also, das sind dann, haben wir immer Lingala-Musik genannt. Also einfach nur wegen der Sprache, ne? Aber das ist halt dieses Ding, 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 ding. So ein bisschen und dann alle sind immer glücklich.
Ja, Pepekale und so und dann die Kofi Olomide natürlich.
Ja.
Ziemlich
weil die Pupa.
Papa Wemba.
Ja.
Mhm. Ja, die haben wir alle gehört und damit aufgewachsen, aber es geht Lingala-Musik, ja, ist gut.
It's something very joyful.
Yeah, it is.
Like when I was there, I could really see and that was the crazy thing because you see people really struggling, like really surviving, but still just very, very kind people. Mm. I remember that guy, we were buying like this nuts, like arachid.
Mm-hmm.
And then my auntie asked, yeah, okay, I want to try like before, I don't want to pay, like, let me try it. And it wasn't so good. Like it wasn't well cooked. It was weird. And then she said, okay, but what is that? Like it's full of water, like it's just not really cooked. And he was like, then he said, no, you know, Mama, it's because most of the people that eat that, they don't have really good teeth, so it shouldn't be too strong. And we started laughing, like everyone, we were crying because we're like, it's just bullshit. You didn't cook it well. That's just it. We were just crying, and we were like, how did he came up like with that bullshit? But like so fast, like so naturally, and it was just fun. And he started laughing with us as well. And she was just like, ah, I don't know if I will give you some money, but just take this. And we were just all laughing together. And still, I don't know. I really feel. If you will say something like that to a French person, they will be like, oh, can you talk to me? You know, like, but it was just really, there people are very, very, I found very kind. And most of the time, it's just really the situation that they are in, that they need to survive. And maybe you have other sides that you think, oh, okay, they're not nice or whatever. But it's, I think from the people that I've seen, they really have like great heart most of the time.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
That's so nice. Wow.
Ich habe mich gefragt, weil du jetzt so viel erzählst, so hast du es dir so vorgestellt, als du losgeflogen bist? Hast du gedacht so, oder hast du dir überhaupt irgendwas vorgestellt?
Welche Erwartungen hast du gehabt?
No, I really looked at not so much actually. I was really like, go with no expectation, just go there. I think I follow a few Instagram like. At the beginning, a few influencers, and I was like, okay, this is not real life. Mm-hmm. I stopped. And then I follow a few Instagram about Congo, and then you could see where some people went. So it was also for me to know, oh, where maybe could I go while I'm there? Mm. But I didn't, to be honest, really didn't have any expectation. I was just like, let's go. There were just two things that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see the bonobos. This was Czech. We did it. It was so nice. Yes. And then I wanted to go to Tsongo, where there you have like beautiful waterfalls. But this we didn't manage to do. So I was a bit sad. But I wanted to have a mix from being in a city and then also getting a bit out of the city because so many people. Mm. But in general, I didn't expect anything. And I also think there's so many... Some things you can't experience, you can't even think about, like the way, for instance, people sell everything on the street. And so, for instance, you have this guy or that woman that will do your nail polish, for instance. And the way you will know that he's passing in your street, he's just clinging the nail polish together. You hear like, cling, 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 cling. And I was asking, but what is that? Like, who? Why is he doing that? Like, I don't understand. What is he selling? It's like... Oh, he's putting nail polish. I was like, ah.
So that's das ist eine Sprache, die man erst lernen muss sozusagen.
Yeah.
Also eine Gestik oder eine Art Gestik, die halt benutzt wird, um zu zeigen und signalisieren, was man möchte, was man verkaufen möchte, was man möchte. Also ne, ist etwas Neues. Aber wenn wir jetzt schon mal dabei sind, klar, wir wollen jetzt nicht über negative Erfahrungen reden, aber ich meine, das gehört dazu. Das ist ein Land mit vielen mit einer langen Geschichte, mit einer langen, schwierigen Geschichte, auch politisch. Ich meine, vor ein paar Monaten wurde der neue Präsident gewählt und das war ein Wechsel des Jahrzehnts. Also konntest du da so eine Art Revolution unter der Bevölkerung verspüren? Also oder eine Art von
Zuversicht oder so?
Ja.
I didn't feel that. I mean, I was just there 2 weeks. It's just too hard to say, but...
Aber ist es Thema? Also ist Politik generell Thema oder schauen Menschen eher auf ihr eigenes Leben oder im Sinne von, wir müssen überleben, wir müssen gucken, wir müssen weitermachen, wir müssen verkaufen, wir müssen... Oder ist dann schon so die Politik
I think it depends where you are. So I think the people that have to just think about getting their money and eating, they're probably not thinking about this yet. But I've met, for instance, my auntie, she's super smart. Like, I think she could be a teacher. Mm-hmm. I know she's thinking about it. She's thinking about her own situation. I also met my uncle who's a director of a school. And also he's thinking about that. So I think when you reach a certain level, of maybe, I don't know if I can say comfort, but that you don't feel like you have to survive so much, then you can probably think about, okay, but what can I do for this country? Mm-hmm. most of the people that I met, they were not so much thinking about it, to be honest. It's I don't know if there will be like some kind of revolution or anything like that. There must be something definitely needs to change, because there's no rules. There's too much bribery. There's most of the money is going to a few percent of the population, and it just cannot go on that way, I think. I just remember watching TV with my mom on a Sunday and seeing the president saying, "We have to pray for our country." And it made my mom so mad. She was like, "You're not looking at the president to pray with him. You don't want him to pray. You want him to find solution. Like, what is that?" And it was true. It's just like, you can't say, "Let's pray for everything to get better." It was like, what? So it's, yeah, the situation is quite difficult there, I'll say.
Yeah. Also ein paar Monate ist es schon her, oder so zwei Monate habe ich auch mit einer Frau geredet, die halt im Kongo arbeitet, als irgendwie so Entwicklungsblabla, und sie ist aber auch Kongolesin. Und sie meinte halt auch, dass sie das Gefühl hat, dass es wenigstens jetzt eine Chance gibt für Veränderung, wo davor halt was, also auch wenn der Präsident jetzt sagt, so, okay, lass uns beten, ja, und man denkt so, nee, lass uns bitte was machen, lass uns nicht beten, dass da wenigstens so ein Wille ist, was davor vielleicht nicht so stark da war, und vielleicht ist das keine Revolution, aber so ein Hoffnungsschimmer, dass man gucken muss halt, wie das dann funktioniert, ist ja immer so.
Ja. Ich glaube jetzt heute zu den Zeiten des, des Social Medias oder generell, wo Menschen sich Informationen herholen können, auch außerhalb, also wenn sie Kongo aus einer anderen Sicht erkennen können oder anschauen können, hilft, glaube ich, den Menschen auch, ja, so ein bisschen nach vorne zu gehen oder ein bisschen Hoffnung zu haben, weil man kriegt ja auch mit, was von außen kommt, also was wie Menschen Kongo sehen oder wie sie die Politikersituation beschreiben oder so. Und deswegen, ich glaube, das gibt Menschen auch so ein bisschen Hoffnung, anstatt nur zu sehen, wie sie selber leben und keine andere Sichtweise von außen zu sehen. Und ich glaube, das hilft ihnen schon.
I think people had and they wanted change, but it's hard when you have someone that stayed for so long and just had a power over a country just to capture all the resources. So Kabila, I'm talking about. And basically, he's still in the picture, even though he's not president, he's still pretty much in the picture.
Yeah, so it's just
really hard to make a change when I don't know, we were in a mall and apparently it was the mall of his daughter. Like, it's just he has the whole mold for herself. Yeah. It's like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
So as long as they are there, I think it would be quite hard to have a proper change.
Yeah. Aber es ist ja auch noch zu früh, um darüber zu sprechen, dass sich etwas ändern muss. Es ist ja gerade mal ein paar Monate her, dass ein neuer Präsident gewählt wurde. Aber ich meine, in der Zeit, also währenddessen der neue Präsident gewählt wurde, hat die ganze Welt auf Kongo geschaut. Also selbst hier in Europa konnte man tatsächlich in den News mitverfolgen, wie das Rennen ausgeht. Und ich meine, wenn die Kongolesen selbst so etwas sehen, dass die ganze Welt oder zumindest wirklich von außerhalb auch auf Kongo geschaut wird und Leute mitfiebern oder zumindest es Thema ist, dann erkennt man so ein bisschen, oh okay, es ist wirklich wichtig, hier muss sich was ändern. Und das wird sich wahrscheinlich mit einem neuen Präsidenten ein bisschen erst ändern. Und das ist gerade, was Caro meinte, es ist ein kleines Stückchen Hoffnungsschimmer.
Und jetzt würdest du sagen, dass du, nachdem du jetzt schon mal da warst, dass du nochmal zurückgehen möchtest und da, also Urlaub machen willst, oder da würdest du da auch mal leben?
Oh wow.
If I go, no.
I'm just asking.
Aber erstmal nochmal hinfliegen, oder?
Definitely going back, I don't know when. But if I go back, I know what I will do differently. I would definitely have my own car with my own driver. And also spend less time within the city, because there's so many beautiful things to see outside of it.
Yeah. Und this dann auch nochmal Party machen gehen, ne?
Yeah, this is really what made me sad. Like, I was just like, where do you do anything in the evening? No.
Nächstes Mal komme ich mit und
Yeah. And also my mom was so scared. Like, I took like I was on a scooter, you know, and it's the streets are really not so good. So she's like, I don't want you to have an accident. Just drive for 5 minutes. So it was just fun. But for sure, I will go back. I don't know when, but for sure, I think I'll go back. Mm-hmm. But I will say the extent to live there, no. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I don't know. Maybe if you have some kind of business, yeah, like you're doing something and it works.
Yeah.
But it's still really hard. Like I will say for me, it was just hard to watch. So let's say, even if I live there, I don't see myself being in the same neighborhood, for instance, where I was. Yeah. So let's say I live in Gombe. It's really cool. Very expensive. Everything is very expensive. I went to a bar, like European standard, got an Aperol Spritz for like $14 American dollar.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Like, okay, that's how we do. So like every social thing costs a lot of money. And then I don't know, you need to see it, but like the huge difference between those who have money and those who do not is just, it's very heavy. And I will, and I think it's what it triggered in me, because I met a lot of people who said, oh, it's Africa, it's like that, you know, this works like this. And then if you only like think it's like this, you can't know, you want things to change. So I think with my mom, we were very, sometimes very frustrated, because you're like, no, this cannot function that way. Like, it can be better.
Yeah.
But then you feel like you do not have much control over a lot of things. So,
Da kommen wir, also ich hätte persönlich nochmal vielleicht zwei Fragen. Und zwar haben wir am Anfang von deinem Bild vom Kongo gesprochen, also das Bild, was du hattest, was zum Beispiel deine Familie oder die Menschen um dich herum, die kongolesischen Menschen, Community um dich herum projiziert haben. Würdest du sagen, dass die Reise das Bild verändert hat?
Oh ja, yeah, totally.
Ja? Yeah?
Totally. There I was just like, wow, they're so beautiful. Just seeing like different little girl, it was just so nice. Just seeing like my cousins and then different crazy haircut. And not only because most people, when you go to in France, for instance, they will think of Congolese, like you always have this, what we call tonton, like this, that is really flamboyant, like really, really like wearing, I don't know, leopard, like pants. And then people will think, oh, Congolese are like that. Like, this is not the case. And my parents are not like that. So it was also nice to see like the different layers, different people, different shade of brown, all beautiful. Yeah. I definitely had no stereotype, I think, anymore. And also when I was looking at my family, they're all very, very different, which makes sense, all have different stories. Yeah. So I think that was the best thing. It was still like, this is your uncle and he did this is your auntie and she did that. And like listen to all the story. I also made like a whole family tree. So it was just very nice for me to just put things into perspective, see faces and come with a more complete, I will say, perspective. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Less biased.
Und da kommen wir auch schon zu der zweiten Frage, die ich dazu hatte. Und zwar, würdest du sagen, dass es Sinn macht, als afrodiasporisches Kind öfters in das Heimatland der Eltern zu reisen? Oder also würdest du Eltern das raten oder würdest du den Menschen selber raten, sich vielleicht früher zu trauen? Denkst du, dass es etwas ausmacht, also in der Identitätsentwicklung? Hättest du diese Stereotypen schon früher abbauen können oder gar nicht erst entwickelt, wenn du mit deiner Mutter oder mit deinen Eltern schon früher in den Kongo gereist wärst?
I know, for instance, my brother, he probably won't go. He doesn't want to go. It's
really?
His thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
He was just like,
gibt's ja Menschen,
no, I don't know. He likes his comfort, so he probably would not put himself in a situation where he's not comfortable, so for sure. But I will say, I think it's important because especially in France, I mean, maybe the model is more like you need to assimilate, like you really, it's like your culture doesn't even matter, like you are French, even though you know that when you grew up in the suburbs, you are considered, you, it depends. So if you're doing things well, like this guy who climbed up the building and saved the kids who were about to fall, yeah, then you get, you know, French citizenship and then you're French and that's good. But then if you, let's say, do a few mistakes, then you're the French person with Congolese background or, so it's hard to navigate sometimes the different identity. I think some people can manage without going back to the country of their parents, which is nice. I know many of my friends actually went back, and you feel, at least for me, what I can say is that it helped me to understand my parents even better.
Yes.
Because when you are, let's say, you're a teenager and you first have this generation gap, already like, nah, I used to do this, you cannot do that, blah, blah. But then you also have the cultural one that sometimes you don't even understand. So for me, I know I couldn't go out a lot, and I was like, why? Like, I'm working well at school, and then maybe I come back at 8 p.m. and I can't go out. Like, I was comparing myself with others. I think it was interesting for me to understand what they, like their situation, the context, and then understand where they were coming from, for sure. And also a lot of things, I think, like when you grow up, you realize there's a lot of transmission, like of values, but also trauma a lot. So you then start to understand, oh, okay, this is coming from there, I understand. And also for me, it helped me to really put some boundaries and just say, okay, that was my parents', you know, story, and this belongs to them, and that's cool. Like, I don't need to carry this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can move on with, this is my identity, and I can move on with that.
Yeah.
So I think it was good for me.
Ja, das ist ein sehr guter Punkt, den du gesagt hast, bezüglich den Eltern, die Eltern besser zu verstehen. Ich muss auch dazu sagen, dass ich viel näher an meine Mutter und viel näher an ihre Geschichte rangekommen bin, als ich gesehen habe, von wo sie kommt und was sie vielleicht durchgemacht hat oder ja, was sie erreicht hat. Weil das ist, man sieht sie halt vielleicht nur hier in Deutschland und ja, sie hat sich assimiliert, sie hat sich integriert, wenn wir das so sagen möchten. Aber der ganze Weg, ich meine, das ist ein ganz, ganz langer Weg von Afrika bis hierher. Und sie halt in so einer Perspektive zu sehen, in so einem Umfeld zu sehen, ist schon sehr, sehr wichtig, glaube ich. Und das hat mich, ja, das hat mich schon in meiner eigenen Entwicklung auch geprägt. Ich verstehe das.
I say to my mom, I swear, I will never complain again.
Yeah.
She started laughing. Yeah. She was like really laughing. And I was like, I felt so grateful. I think it put so much perspective, you know, when I was there, and I was just like, I'm so privileged. And I think we tend to really forget about what is very important, and especially in Europe, I think, because I feel like when you go in certain African country, like the power of like the community and the importance of family is very strong. And I wouldn't say it's as strong in Europe. And when I was there, I was like, yeah, we have that, like that bond, and it's nice, and it's nurturing, and it's very important. And I think when I came back here, I was just like, I don't need to stress over work or trying to achieve something, because most of the time we're trying to achieve something outside of us because we think we're not
it's
good
not
enough and all the thing. And then when I was there, I felt so much pride at looking at all those Congolese people striving and just being beautiful people, like just very, very interesting people. So I think it was much needed for my, I don't know, self-esteem, or I don't know what it was, but it just really felt really strong in my own identity. It was just very, 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 very nice.
Voll schön. Really beautiful.
Boah, ich wurde auch recht emotional bei der ganzen Erzählung, und ich konnte echt Podcast, genau. Das ist eine sehr spezielle Sendung, und Ja, danke für deine Zeit, danke für deine Geschichten, danke für die Offenheit, Corinne. Merci.
Hast du noch eine Anekdote, die du loswerden willst?
It's not really an anecdote, but it's a story.
Ja.
I have family, at least from my dad's side, from really different countries. Now they move to different countries. And one of my uncle is living in the US with the whole family. And first they were in Belgium, and I said, I remember asking him when I was a kid, but why didn't you stay in Europe, like in Belgium? And he was just like, you know, I was in Brussels, and it's so boring. Like, Europe is so boring. So just decided to go to the US. It's much better. And I was like, oh, okay. That was his story.
Yeah.
Then the other story is that my auntie actually was, she was also living in Matonge, also from the same tribe as my dad. And she was really like hanging out with a lot of musicians. So she already had someone in her life, like a musician. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother decided, no, I have a woman for you. This is the woman you should marry. He was already in Brussels. I don't know how they got into her, but they talked to her and basically said, well, we give you money. You're going to Brussels. This is the man that, you know, you're going to be marry, with and yeah. to marry. And then she was like, okay. I mean, I don't know if she did. So I don't know if they had to convince her or whatever, but eventually she accepted and went to Brussels without her lover, so this musician, knowing. And I will not say his name, but you can look on YouTube. He was considered as like the James Brown of the Congolese James Brown, and he even made a song about her to ask her to come back.
Oh, it's my called God.
Zonga Jida. You can check it out. And he was also looking for her in Brussels. Like he knew a few people just to make sure she could come back. And they were so overwhelmed by all those people trying to chase her that they decided to go to the US.
Oh, wow.
That's the real story. And when I got to know that, I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And just also seeing the video and then hearing the song, and I was like, oh my God, can you imagine having a musician singing for you to come back?
Oh,
yeah. That's so beautiful.
Heartwarming.
Und diese Geschichte hast du in Kongo erfahren?
Oder? Yes.
Schön, dass du uns mitgebracht hast.
Yes.
Nice one.
Dankeschön.
Vielleicht finden wir das Lied.
Ja, vielleicht. Posten. Nice.
Come back. Come I don't know how the song goes.
Ja, an unsere Zuhörerinnen, also wenn ihr vielleicht irgendwelche Fragen habt an Corinne, wenn ihr diese Sendung gehört habt, könnt ihr sie uns gerne in unsere Telegram-Gruppe schicken. Die haben wir ja kreiert vor kurzem, heißt Matatu Podcast. Ich glaube Matatu-Podcasts oder so, könnt ihr uns finden und Corinne vielleicht ein, zwei Fragen stellen zu ihrer Reise.
Ja, Matatu Podcast heißt sie einfach. Just check it out. Check it out.
Genau, und ich hoffe, ihr habt nichts dagegen, dass diese Sendung bilingual, trilingual kurzzeitig auch war. Wenn ihr sie nicht verstanden habt oder die Antworten von Corinne nicht ganz verstanden habt, vielleicht könnten wir sie euch auch vielleicht schriftlich beantworten, wenn es eine Person da gibt, die vielleicht kein Englisch spricht und versteht. Ist kein Problem. Könnt ihr uns auch anschreiben. Ja, das ist auch, wir haben auch eine andere Gästin, haben wir gar nicht vorgestellt. Ich glaube, die Sendung ist voll und es reicht. Das reicht auch für Sie. Und ja, danke schön, Corinne. Wir freuen uns sehr, sehr, sehr.
Thank you. Achso, was wir vergessen hatten. Hast du einen Tipp für Menschen, die in deiner Lage sind?
Achso, ja, okay, ja, das war halt so.
No expectations.
Ja, no expectations.
Und vielleicht ist auch vielleicht früher zu machen, oder?
Yeah, I think doing it early is nice, because then you don't really have to struggle with like all the question, who am I, what am I doing now? but maybe you're just an easy person, like you're not like me, you're not thinking like all the time. But it's nice to maybe what was missing, I will say for me, is that really I got some story from my parents, and sometimes they were telling me about their life in Congo, but it still felt really fragmented. Like I had a few pictures, and the whole family of my dad is like everywhere in Europe, so it's hard to just like collect and just get a proper picture and different stories. So I will say just ask your parents, discuss about their past, and I think it comes only later in life that maybe you want to get to know them as adult. Mm. Yeah, but I would definitely say no expectation, really. Just go, be open and see what happens. Definitely. Yeah.
Super schön.
Guti, dann war's das jetzt von uns. Bis zum nächsten Mal.
Bis zum nächsten Mal.
Danke.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Pas comme Daniel. Une journée sans Daniel. N'a comme un cas nerveux. Il suffit à l'aura. Allô. Mon bonheur. Daniel, on a des petits bons mots.